the Tuesday edition. The... Is this official? Are we able to talk about this now?
I'm not 100% sure.
Okay, so because I don't want to violate any rules or ethics edition. The, speaking of rules and ethics, Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike scheduled to appear at 9:30 edition. An interesting day yesterday over at Lambeau Field. Some interesting conversations. And I'm very curious what's going to happen when Myles Garrett faces the Packers. Because he's really their biggest threat. I mean, I suppose he could get two sacks.
He's the Micah Parsons of the AFC.
He is, except I don't know how many points the Browns are capable of scoring on their own, so he may have to have two stracks that he returns for touchdowns if they're going to have a chance to win 14-13 edition. Is that Badger camo? Is that what that is?
No.
Edition.
Just a shirt.
Oh, it's a shirt, man. I'm Wilde and Tausch on 94.5
like
ESPN Milwaukee.
60-year-old hipster right now with the backwards hat and the like. But that's
I'm Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn is old. He's the same age as me.
Wash
doesn't
your
wash
hands.
His hands, and he wears his hat backwards. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free ESPN Wisconsin app, which allows you to get this program and everything else that's great about ESPN Wisconsin, available in both the Android and Apple app stores. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay, a hipster that I may be. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios, and he is the Packers Hall of Famer and the radio color analyst for the University of Wisconsin football. It is Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jason. How are you doing? I couldn't be doing better.
I'm super.
Fantastic.
Are we able to talk about what you have planned tonight or not?
Yeah.
And are you going to wear that
shirt? I hear he's telling everybody already. So, yeah, I think it's fair game.
I'm not telling anybody anything.
You said it on a certain morning news show program.
I've got spies everywhere who know things. Yeah, they brought it up. The official home of the Milwaukee Brewers. Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, so is right. 100.5 ESPN Madison.
I know.
So at it here. What do you got going on tonight in your wild red camo shirt?
So I've been a couple of different opportunities. I have not, from a date standpoint, I get to throw out one of the first pitches tonight, along with a couple of other Wisconsin folks. And I have not, I've never thrown a first pitch at AmFam Field. I've thrown out first pitches at different Mallards type games.
Mm-hmm.
And I delivered pretty good pitches then. It's been a while. I don't throw 60 feet ever anymore. Everything is, you know, in the cage, you know, 35 or 40 feet because you want to get a little velo with the kids.
Velo.
So I get to throw out the first pitch along with I also have the other stuff I can't talk about. I have some really fun stuff. I'm working with the with UW Credit Union, who is a great partner of the Milwaukee Brewers as well. Some very fun stuff that I will report back to you tomorrow about. That is classified. But this, so I think Greg Gard is going to also be throwing out a pitch, so we'll be able to compare and contrast. Big thing, I went and actually practiced a little bit yesterday, because knowing I have not thrown a ball of that degree for a while, and I'm not going to lie to you, it's a total crapshoot.
You're going to Mark Murphy it?
I don't think I'll Murphy it. I don't think I'll Smallman it. But the thing, and I talked to with Vinny and Eric this morning, I know for a fact I could fire it and hit the back netting. Like, I know I can do that. It would be more of a loop-de-doop, but I could do that. Is that better than leaving it and short hopping it? No. I think if you leave a curveball short, a kid can swing at it. What Mark did, I don't want to do. I mean, he spiked it right in front of the mound.
Yeah,
I'm not interested in that. Mm-hmm. But I am going to go from the mound. I'm not going to go in front.
No, that's where people get in trouble. That's what leads to the disaster.
Here's the deal. Here's the deal. We tell our kids all the time, don't be afraid to fail. That's where you grow.
Sure.
So I'm not gonna take the shortcut and go in front of the grass and a loop de doop it in and oh da da. Don't care if I do that. I want to see if I can get it there, and I can get it there. But what I missed a lot yesterday in my prep rounds was I missed either hard left or soft right, which makes me think it's kind of like a golf swing. If I loop-de-doop it, it hangs right. If I really come down, it goes hard left. I did throw some absolute seeds as well, but I think the big thing is I have to make sure I don't get caught up in it. I have to keep a high release point. With that, it might end up a little short. Those are the things that I have to work through as we get ready for a first pitch, probably somewhere in the six. I don't even know what time. Mid-sixes, I think, is when we're doing it.
The mid-sixes?
The mid-sixes, yes. Like that's what it says on his calendar. Mid-sixes.
6-7-ish?
First pitch.
Baseball mid-six.
All right. I have a variety of questions here.
Well, I'm not sure how many I want to answer, if I'm being honest. I will pick and choose which ones I want to answer.
I'll start with the one that's going to tick you off immediately then, because I don't know if I'll get it in otherwise. When they announce your name, are you going to wave?
Yeah, like I did at the in the tunnel with the smoke. Yeah, I'll probably wave, and then I will, as I did with the smoke filled wave right there. I'm guessing you got to kind of move, so you can't go real slow. And my knee is a little gitchy,
bulky.
So
yeah,
my main focus won't be on some long extended pirouette of a wave just to appease you.
Okay.
It will be more, let's get my keister out to the mound and get out of here so that we can see Mike Trout and then the Milwaukee Brewers.
All right, next question.
Oh, what do we got here? Strophe?
This was Alex Strofe's first pitch at the Lakeshore Chinooks game. He threw
not
it over
terrible.
The
he almost hit the mascot.
Oh, it's not terrible.
Look at the mascot's reaction when he does this.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
The mascot's like, what the heck are you
I
doing?
I think that wasn't terrible.
They have a dog who's supposed
He's
to
He's running for cover.
The mascot is funny. But Strofe waved, so everything else is
he
fine.
Did. Yeah, he did wave.
So
yeah.
next question. Mark Murphy is retired from being the president and CEO of the Packers. He's running a golf course.
We got to get the Chippewa Falls.
He's not throwing as many baseballs as you are as a baseball coach. Are you really suggesting that you, who throws however much BP you're throwing to the kids and everything else,
not much anymore. I didn't throw as much BP this last year. It was soft toss and a lot of I did the machine more machine stuff than I did soft toss.
So you can bring a jugs machine out and stand behind it, and your first pitch will be dropping.
Well,
the ball
here's the
into
deal:
the jugs
if I
machine.
Didn't if I didn't get a chance to throw out a first pitch, I think as my shoulders aren't getting better. My knees, obviously, you know, at some point probably going to have some work done. I don't know if there's going to be another shot. So this is going to be kind of my Custer's last stand when it comes to this as far as non-hardwared joints, if that makes any sense.
Sure,
so here we
it
go.
Does.
And
yep.
So I don't know, Jason. I am not going to behold myself. I have the expectation bar set mid. And if I can go above it, I'm going to be happy. If I don't, I'm not going to lose any sleep. That's kind of where I'm at.
No one's suggesting that you should. All right, last question.
Let's see Smalls here. All right. I'm hoping to be better than that, too, by like a substantial amount.
Smalls
runs marathons, so she's in great shape, obviously. I need to be better than that, too.
Yeah, throwing a baseball is not the same as running a marathon, though, right?
But look, yeah, I'd agree with that.
She had trouble because she went to the top of the mound. That's part of the problem.
Yeah, I'm going to the top of the mound, Jesse. I'm not going to be talked off.
This
of that.
Is the ice.
he's going to die on that mountain.
Die on that hill. When you go to the top of the mound, you're not on an even plane. And that's what leads to the people that sail it way over like Strofe or come up way short and bounce it like Smalls. If you just go to the bottom, No one in the building is going to judge except for you and maybe someone close to you watching you. But you have a much better chance if you're on an even plane at the bottom of the mound. You can still be on the dirt. No one's going to care. And you just toss
that
puppy right in.
You have a much better chance of climbing Mount Everest if you get a helicopter. That doesn't matter, though. You didn't actually climb the mountain. So you either do it or you don't.
But what mountain are you even trying to climb? Just saying that
point.
You threw a, you're like, what if you don't throw a strike from the mound? Then what?
Well, then you don't.
You're going to feel
you
like
move on. Then you see if you could do it. Then see if you could try again somewhere down the road.
You just said it's Custer's last stand if you get it wrong.
Yeah, with these joints. Yeah, non-mechanical.
Oh, you expect to be back out there with your new shoulder and your
Iron
new knee someday?
Well, I don't know. It depends. Throwing am I still? I don't
like Henry Rowan Gardner after he falls off his bike or whatever. He's the pitcher. He's the kid pitcher for the Cubs in Rookie of the Year or Little Big League or whatever it is.
No, the odds are this will be it, and I'll see how it goes. And if it goes well, I'll retire happily. If it doesn't, then we'll see. But
right,
I'm not going to be bullied into, oh, you need to pitch it from here. No. Unless they say you can't go on the mound, and then I won't. But
that would solve all your problems. Last question. You played 11
have
years.
Have you thrown out a first pitch?
I have. Twice, actually.
Where at? Okay.
For the Mallards, I threw a strike both times. Thank you very much. I did not throw off the bump, however.
So
they
didn't throw a strike.
They told you to stand on the first blades of grass at the bottom of the pitcher's mound.
Bottom of the mound.
Okay. Well, can we admit that you didn't throw a strike then? Like, that's not a strike.
Are you nervous about this?
Jesse,
you played 11
years in the NFL. Is that a strike if
you're
not throwing the
mound? It's 100% a strike because nobody cares if you're on the top of the mound or not when you're throwing out the first pitch except for you. No one.
Yeah, no, I would disagree.
No
one
else there cares.
I think everybody would disagree.
No.
Rob Vogel.
Boy, Verlander was really good. He got to pitch from 44 and a half feet last night.
You're not Verlander.
There's no batter.
Multiple
Peralta's,
times,
best
Peralta's
of a
fastball
generation.
Looked strong. He was throwing from the grass. His curveball really broke last night.
Had some real veal.
Yeah, he didn't have to pitch.
You're also not Freddy Peralta. You're Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher, who last played for the Packers 15 years ago. No one's going to care if you don't go to the top of the mound tonight.
Yeah, I would care. So somebody would care, and it would be me. And I think, isn't that the most important? Well, anyways, Jason, congrats on throwing a strike from 40 feet. That's better than, I'll say this. Right. I'd rather probably spike one from 60 than throw a strike from 44.
No,
and I don't know if you guys feel the same way. That's how I feel.
You think Michelle Smallman feels better about her performance throwing out the first pitch on Friday night? Because she was at the top of the mound, and it looked like this, if you're watching on YouTube, bouncing one, two times before getting to the home plate. You think that's better than if she would have gone a couple of feet closer and threw a strike?
I bet she I do. I do.
All right. I'm not here to... I'm not here to diagnose you, but
whatever.
You seem a little nervous, and I feel like you're kind of taking it out on us. So
how is that being nervous? Because I said throwing from 44 is not the same as 60.
I think you may be a little bit. You want to put your best foot forward tonight, and we want you to.
I just want to throw a good pitch. Yeah.
Yeah, that was what
pitch.
I mean.
Sure.
Yeah. Pipe Jim informing me that according to sources with the Brewers that he knows that have covered the team. Pitchers really don't like it when civilians use the mound.
Civilian?
So, I don't know who's going.
That's probably fair.
I don't know who's on the bump tonight for the crew, but they would prefer that you keep your ass off of there and your foot.
I thought Tausch was starting tonight. Well, he's up in the same category as Freddie and Verlander.
All right, well, we wish you the best. Is Gina Della throwing one out with you? Because, you know, she's in great shape.
No, I don't
she's
know
sleek.
Who else is. I think there's the – because the Badgers are playing some hoops in Milwaukee, I think Greg and I think there's maybe a couple of other hoops guys coming down, too. So
I did see –
that mound's going to get –
Greg Gard and Andrew Rohde, new transfer from Virginia, who he's from southeast Wisconsin, grew up here, played high school basketball.
So I would bet they'll have to if I would bet Greg is going to go from the mound.
I'm gonna text him right now.
Okay.
Because I want to know.
Well, then while you're texting him and Gina Della, I bet she'll be there supporting me and being a good friend and not trying to tell me to pitch from 22 feet. When a customer chooses Pella, one of the most important things to them is honoring that trust and commitment. And a lot of customers might have apprehensions about inviting someone out to their home, but when you see the experience and professionalism, you can trust them with bringing your project to life. Their vision is to be the company that people want to do business with. Order up by the end of the month, you get 0% interest for up to 5 years. Visit PellaWI.com today.
All right, we're going to find out what Gardo's plan is. That's my goal for the next 42 minutes of the 9 o'clock hour. Tausch is an athlete. Throw it from the mound and prove you can do it.
Mm.
Great.
Well, that's what we're going to see.
Great. We wish you...
I'm going to probably go if I... Well, if I am allowed to go off the mound, and I'm obviously not going to break any protocols. If I'm not going to mess with Freddie Peralta's mound. I think he's pitching tonight. I will go from the stretch. There's no doubt about that.
Not the windup.
Big high leg kick.
I thought the stretch, you don't want to take a high leg kick.
You don't, but there's last time I checked, there's not anybody running.
Well, I don't know. You just said you compared yourself to Verlander and Freddie Peralta a second ago.
Make sure you come completely set. They're going to call a balk on you, Verlander.
Oh, the old Verlander balksky.
All right, we'll continue with something other than Tausch's first pitch.
Thank
next.
God.
You're telling me. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Talk to Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike. Jerriad, who I think tweets and texts the show less frequently now because he's very busy.
He's got a job.
Very busy monitoring the YouTube comments, another job that he does for free.
And 565 analytics, yeah.
Exactly. In the
multiple jobs.
ESPN Madison.
I noticed you weren't crying about their verdict last week on Steinhoffler's. Huh? Nobody was crying last week. You won. No tears shed from Wilde, which is nice.
Tausch.
He's kind of lashing out today.
I'm really excited for you tonight. I'm really excited for you. I'm here to support you.
Did you complain about the Did you cry about the Steinhoffler's?
I'll be honest with you. I didn't see the final scoring. I didn't.
Ooh, okay.
Well, you won. So,
great.
Yeah, you
congratulations
won.
To me. Jerriad, I'm going to be real disappointed if Tausch is throwing out the first pitch tonight in anything other than CC Sabathia's pants. So I assume that is not going to be part of your ensemble.
That's actually a good idea. Problem is I'd have to give him back if I brought him down, so I don't know if that's...
No, you wouldn't. He won't be there.
And just for those that are scouting you, and then we'll get to Evan Cohen, you bat left-handed.
Yes.
And you golf left-handed.
Yes.
Are you a left-handed or right-handed thrower of the baseball and the football and et cetera, et cetera?
I am right-handed. I throw right-handed.
Okay. All right. The big right-hander from Auburndale on the mound. In CC Sabathia's pants tonight.
I'm not going to lie to you. Hey, Jesse, I don't think I want to see Strofe's pitch anymore. That is going to give me bad mental juju. You know what I mean? You start osmosisizing things, and all of a sudden now I'm going to be thinking that's where
being Bernie.
I'm not sure that's where I want to be. You know what I mean?
What do you want me to do? You want me to put up videos of Justin Verlander strikeouts from vintage 2009?
Just throw an absolute gas right down the pump. Absolutely. Some positive juju.
A little Mark Burley curveball from back in the day.
He's a lefty. He's an old lefty.
Sorry. So no.
Who are the we know, like, 50 Cent threw a terrible first pitch. Who are the ones, like,
Carl Lewis, I think, and then he sang the national anthem.
No, I don't know if he threw out the first pitch. I remember.
No, I think he did. I think
Francis
he did
Scott off key.
Victor,
Charlie Steiner.
Victor Wembanyama had a really bad one last year.
So the only great, because look, if you throw a good pitch, no one really remembers, right? It's only
exactly.
If you stink up the place. Which Tausch might do because he's throwing off the mound. The guy that threw the most recent really good one, but man, is he a cocky son of a gun, is Ben Johnson, who threw like a splitter at the Cubs game, right?
Did he really?
Yes.
Oh,
he threw a strike. It had some movement on it. The only person that I can think of who threw out a very good first pitch, and major credit to him, given the talk about pressure, is when he threw out the first pitch after 9/11, and that would be President Bush.
That's by far the most famous first pitch, right?
And he threw a strike.
I would agree.
Like, clutch in a huge way. So big props to him for that.
Yeah, that was clutch.
The stakes not quite as high for old T tonight.
No.
But the good news is, after he throws out that first pitch and he heads up to his seat, he is surely going to enjoy himself a Coors Light, whether he throws a 95-mile-an-hour fastball or he has control problems like the Miz and hits Bernie Brewer in the head.
Yeah, indeed. And whether you are throwing out the first pitch, tailgating pregame, or just enjoying your experience during the game, crack open a Rocky Mountain cold Coors Light. It's refreshingly cold, only 102 calories. Coors Light is made to chill. Celebrate sponsored by Coors Brewing Company. Yeah, Golden, Colorado.
Do we think Evan Cohen's ever thrown out a first pitch?
Well,
he had a bobblehead
bobble
night at a minor league team's
I would think
game.
That he probably combined both.
I am very confident he has thrown out a first pitch, yes.
Okay.
They've been talking about it a lot since Michelle Smallman threw hers at the Brewers game last Friday. So that's come up, yeah.
All right, well, we'll find out when we talk to him. And next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
So I know this guy's got a bobblehead, which was a giveaway at a minor league baseball game in Florida, I believe. I don't know if he threw out the first pitch before that game, though. But if he did, hopefully he threw it from the top of the mound and has all kinds of advice for his good friend Mark Tauscher. It is unsportsmanlike's Evan Cohen on Wilde and Tausch. Evan, good morning. How are you?
Jason, Tausch, Jesse, how are you guys?
Great. Did you throw out a first pitch when you had your bobblehead?
I did. I've thrown out a bunch. I always throw from the mound, and I actually do it like a regular pitch. Like, I don't lob it because I pitched in high school, not particularly well, but I do it like an actual pitch.
So your leg kick, and how did it go? Yeah. Because I didn't realize you've thrown out numerous first pitches. Any in the
deal.
Dirt, or did you throw? Give us kind of a quick little outline on how you did.
Let me. So I've thrown out first pitches at minor league games, and I've thrown out first pitch at spring training. Never like you're doing tonight. Never at that level.
Okay.
At a Brewers right. game in front of like an actual major league crowd for a game that counts. So
sure.
Yeah, I would say like they probably a few of them would have been called balls and not strikes. They were probably a little bit high and tight. But certainly over the plate, catcher had to reach maybe on one, but no bounce. I mean, I can pitch. Again, not well, yeah. but I can, if you put me on a mound right now and you let me stretch a little bit and have a couple of quick tosses, yeah, I could throw a strike for sure.
Okay. Well, there you go.
So what advice
I mean, I'm one of the great athletes of all time. I mean, let's be honest.
That's what I've heard.
And by that, I mean, let me tell you a quick story. So when you think about my athletic prowess or lack thereof, what's
spent
the
a lot of time
think
about that, yeah.
yeah. 8 interceptions. Yeah.
What's the That's right. So what's underrated about my athletic career is that in 2004 or 5, I don't remember which one, the Marlins had a fantasy camp in Florida. For those who are unaware what that is literally people living out their fantasies of playing a professional sport with ex-players as organized, usually in warm weather climates, Florida, Arizona, by the team involved. And you sign up to play in this, and people pay to be in it. I was part of a radio promotion with ESPN West Palm that allowed me to play for free, but I went through all of the normal activities. So what they do is, for the first day, they put everybody through all kinds of drills, as if you're actually in, like, spring training, and in essence, a combine. So
yep.
they then draft teams, and on the final day, they play an actual game. So I was the second overall pick in this draft. Who picked me? Knuckleballer Charlie Huff. Second overall. Ooh. We get to the game, I'm the pitcher, and I hit 6 batters in 1 inning, including a girl. So when you're thinking about my athletic career, let's not only focus on the 8 interceptions, let's also mention the 6 HBPs. Thank you.
Oh, I didn't shouldn't Charlie have pulled you after like the 3rd or 4th?
Were you throwing knuckleballs?
No, I was not. That seems like a theme. Whereas, why are these coaches or managers allowing me to fail as miserably and as spectacularly as I have?
Because they wanted
failed?
You to grow. Because they wanted you to grow.
Yeah.
Is that the answer?
Yeah, I guess so. Okay. You can make that argument, but I would say to this day, there's not a day that goes by that I don't think about my football failures, and it still eats mm-hmm. me. Years and years and years later. Michael Chiklis, an actor, was in studio today. He has a movie coming out, The Senior. It's a true story about a 59-year-old who played 1 year of college football because he had 1 year of eligibility left. And I'm like, that's my dream in life, is somehow to be able to go back in time and do that.
Do you have eligibility left?
If I do, I don't know that anyone would take advantage of it, to be honest with you. I don't know that our football team at UW is particularly great right now. I don't know that I'd make it so much worse, but I wouldn't make it better.
No. You wouldn't go to UW. What if you went to like a JUCO or a Division III school offered you an opportunity right now to come in and be their quarterback? Would you stop doing what you're doing to kind of get rid of these demons in your head to go and play ball?
Yes, I would have to. I'm not kidding.
Okay. We will find – I think we can find someone that will give you an opportunity. Now, you'll have to earn the starting spot. You're not, like, just get it.
Of course.
You'll
compete.
Have to earn it.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, Tausch, in that scenario,
yep.
I need it for it to be next year because you got to let me, like, start to train.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you got to work and you got to – yeah, you have to set things up.
Playing out that hypothetical, mm-hmm. you get into the industry we are – fortunate enough to be in sports, broadcasts, and content, to ultimately get a job like I am fortunate and lucky enough to have. And I am telling you, if you gave me the opportunity that you just presented, I would have no choice but to leave it. Because I would look back at this, and say, I left nothing on the table with this, but I left so much on the table with that, and it still eats at me.
But now you're, no offense, you're not 23 anymore. Do you actually think you could still do it?
No, even when I was 23, I wasn't, right. Even when I was 23, I wasn't like you or like Brooksy.
Sure.
You know, I can call that now that we had dinner, no big deal.
Yeah, he's Brooksy. Yep.
Yeah. Did he, by the way, we never did the post-game show. did he enjoy my company? I'm unaware of this. Did you do a post game with Brooks?
I think have you texted him? We have a group text chat now with all of us that were there. So yeah, I think he had a great time. You know, I think he. I don't know if his kid had his good. His kid had a good time for about an hour, and then I think he was ready to deuces.
I do know that his kid did not have a good time. I think that was pretty clear.
He did not. He didn't have the best time, but he did have the worst time, which is good. All right, Evco, through 2 weeks, is there any team that's been more impressive than the Green Bay Packers in the from your perspective?
No, and, you know, Jason and I were together on Thursday night before the game. We were fortunate enough to be there at Lambeau, and then I texted you guys during the game, too, to which I got no response, which just they are so good and so dominant. And yet I would argue, speaking of leaving things on the table, I would argue that Jordan Love actually missed a lot of throws on Thursday night, and they still crushed the Commanders. That's how good this team is. They are awesome, and they actually could get better. They are playing better. Here's your big headline, Jesse. Put it out there. The Green Bay Packers are playing better than any team in the NFL and have room for improvement.
I agree with him. Some lulls offensively. Jordan Love loves to go downfield. He always has. He did not connect on some of those deep balls that he was aiming for with Matthew Golden. He underthrew one. He overthrew the other. It's a big-time blowout if he hits even on one of those. But he's going to keep throwing those, as he told us after the game. I like where they're at. And again, you lose games you're not supposed to during the course of a season, but I'm starting to think long and hard about Waddle's prediction in our Boldathon that they could start 8-0, and I thought that was one of the bolder takes, and now that they've gotten through these first two games, and the Bengals are going to be without Joe Burrow when they come back from the bye after the Packers have their Week 5 bye, I like their chances a lot of going on that kind of run to start the season.
By the way, let me give Jason Wilde credit on something. Now, that's rare, but let me give Jason Wilde credit. Yeah. So we're at the Tundra Trio on Thursday. Jason's doing all of his different hits on whatever he was doing. He had an outfit change for TV, and he's about to leave, and he sees me. And he's like, where'd you get the shrimp? And I'm like, the bucket honey shrimp is in there. It's unbelievable.
I'm like,
you got to get it. And he's like, all right, I'm going to get a couple before I go. Went in there, got it, and made sure he got that shrimp. Because I'll tell you, if I were him and I would have left there without that shrimp, I would not have had a good night that night. I don't care that there's a million stories to write and angles to talk about. If I would have missed that shrimp, it would have ruined my night. That's how good that shrimp was.
I would have never known if it wasn't for you. And by the way, speaking of, yes, thank you
God
for your
you
service.
You two come a long way. Hey, yeah. Can we just take a beat? You guys took a beat and had a meal. You two have come a long way. This is Jesse. Isn't this fun to watch these two coming a long way like this?
We're almost as close as Evan and Brooksy.
They might be tier one friends at this point.
That's kind of what I'm starting to think. Sharing meals.
I did give hints
where the good shrimp's at.
All right.
He doesn't meet up with anybody at anything ever. And he met
Never.
Evan at the Packers game.
Yeah. And now this guy's sharing shrimp with Evco. What a world.
Yeah. Evan, you were carrying a football around the entirety of your time there. In addition to interception problems during your illustrious career, did you also have ball security problems with fumbles that your coach had you walk around class all the time like that, or what? Because I noticed you had that Tito's football from the moment I got there to the moment I left.
That's correct. Okay, so good reference to the movie The Program. Actually did that.
Yes.
No, that actually should just be directly related to the first part of this conversation where I'm not over how bad I was and how I want that career back. And, like, when I'm holding that football for a minute, it feels like, all right, there may be a time I have to throw it. The problem is I talk about the 8 interceptions so much that there were so many jokes made at my expense. Like, oh, if you throw it to the right team. Okay, I get it. Great. But, like, that's just, yeah, it's just. I want to.
You made the throw
when I entire time.
That's how you welcomed me to the Tundra Trio. You hit me right between the numbers with a throw, and right. I was your intended receiver. I was not a defender on that play, so I thought
it was
great.
Also, like, I can throw a football better than average everyday person, not better than quarterbacks, but better than average everyday person. So when people walked in and they're like, oh, throw me the ball, and then they see me throw, it's kind of like me forcing them into complimenting me. Like, oh, hey, you do have an arm. Like, yeah, I know.
Good arm. That's nice spiral.
Yeah, exactly. Tausch, the way you said it is exactly how everyone said it. You wouldn't have said it that way because you've seen throws. But everyone goes, oh, wow, good arm. Like, so it's, you know, it's a little bit self-gratifying in that regard.
Sure. Evco, I said yesterday on this show that the NFC North isn't going to be the juggernaut division that it was last year. And it's a two-team race. I think Green Bay is going to pull away, but it is a two-team race. Do you have any problems with either of those statements I made?
I saw that clip, and I sat back and I said, you know, Tausch is not trying to do this as a bold statement. He's trying to do this as an emphasized statement because he's right. I don't know how, at this point, you could think otherwise. Like, the J.J. McCarthy thing is fascinating. I think he can be good. I also think for 2 years he's played one good quarter total.
Yep.
Because he's only played in two games.
Yeah.
The Bears, the way I look at it, is Caleb Williams is in his first year, right? Like, I still think he's, in essence, a rookie because of the new coach. So if you have an injured quarterback that's only had one good quarter on one team, and in essence, let's call him a rookie quarterback because of the new system on another team, and you just pummeled your number one competitor in Detroit, I don't know how anyone can argue that. And I know you weren't trying to do it as some bold statement. I think you were trying to emphasize it, but I also think, Tausch, if I could read into your mind on that, it was like, hey, like, let's state the obvious. This is not a tough division. This is a tough Lions team. That's it.
Yeah.
I just look at what Minnesota has done.
That also means if you don't go 4-0 against those two teams, Tausch, then you have to look at it as a major disappointment.
Well, I would agree, unless it's that the Packers have everything wrapped up and they're resting guys in that week, whatever, 17 game, I think it is, versus Minnesota.
That's fair.
I would agree. I legit was watching that Viking game, and Atlanta does not have a very good pass rush. They looked like the 85 Bears. And I Minnesota lost the center. They're on their third string left tackle. I understand all that. But I was legit thinking their quarterback's going to get killed when they play Rashawn Gary and Micah Parsons and Devontae Wyatt. And that's the difference, is even if the offense struggles a little bit, now we do have a defense that can do it. And Minnesota, why I think that they put J.J. McCarthy, when have you ever, in your years of covering Jason Wilde and Evan Cohen, have you ever heard a coach willingly give out info on a sprained ankle telling you that that quarterback is unavailable for the next week in a Monday presser for a Sunday game? Have you ever heard of that? Ever? They always want to protect and make a coach think that somebody else is going to play, that you better prepare for two quarterbacks, and they willingly came out and said, nope, he sprained an ankle, he's out. He's done. That never has happened. Has it ever happened in 30 years, Jason?
Well, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question, though, on this, because I don't think we should.
I didn't know your name was Jason, but okay.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead, Jason.
No, it hasn't happened. All right, Evan, the floor is yours.
Ever.
Thanks. I would ask you in return, Tausch, how many head coaches in the NFL wanted to do our job before they wanted to do their own job? Don't forget, Kevin O'Connell was one of us before he was one of them. He broadcasted before he coached, meaning he wanted to be a broadcaster. Well, he was. He was on CBS Sportsnet. He did Army games, if I'm not mistaken. Like, I think he was a broadcaster before he got into coaching. So maybe there's a little bit of a different mindset in his sharing of information because he was one of us for a minute.
Let me tell you something. He's coached long enough, and you know how these coaches are, man. There is a paranoia on top of paranoia, and they want to take every edge. And I don't even know who Minnesota plays next week. Is it Cincy? You don't think he could have said, J.J. McCarthy sprained an ankle, we're going to see if he's ready to go. We'll give him all the time. any other starting quarterback in the league, you'll say, we'll give him as much time as he can. We'll prepare both guys, and we'll have that as a plan moving forward. Mm-hmm. And it literally, before they even started the press conference, he's like, up, he's out. He's out for the couple weeks, maybe. And it's, well, what's wrong with him? And even he's sprinting his last play of the game. He's on a bootleg running like Carl Lewis. So I don't know, man.
So second Carl Lewis reference today.
Yeah, that's certainly the mentality of the coach that drafted him. I mean, you know, that's Belichick's mentality, obviously. But are you in a roundabout way saying that Kevin O'Connell is, I don't want to say happy that J.J. McCarthy is out, but almost, it's not the word, Bryce Youngham, where bench him to restart him? I mean, is that what you're saying? Are you almost like, I think
sounds like it.
Here's what I think. I think Kevin O'Connell knows that he is close to losing his locker room. Because this is a team that won 14 games last year with Sam Darnold. They have great skill players. They have a really good defense with a great defensive coordinator. And you can tell that if things continue, you lose your locker room, it's over. And J.J. McCarthy is not ready yet. And if he ever is going to be ready, I'm not writing him off. But I do know this. He's played 8 quarters and 7 of them have been bad. Bad.
No doubt. Football. Question for you guys as Packers people. So, I have a friend, lives in Florida, huge Packers fan, wants the national and local media to pipe down on how great the Packers are because he doesn't want to overhype them. How do you guys feel about that? Not that he doesn't think that they're great. He just gets nervous about the overhyping about their greatness.
This isn't overhyping. To me, like, I think there's been times that we've gotten hyperbolic, especially me, not Jason, where I've been a little hyperbolic. This is different. This team is really blanking good, and I for one am not going to sit here and say that they're not, because they are. Now, that doesn't mean every week is going to go swimmingly, but on the whole, if they stay healthy, no, the expectations are higher. Micah Parsons, you got what did I say yesterday, Jason? Was it PM and AM, or was it pre-Micah and after Micah? After Micah, the expectations are to the moon. And by the way, we're tracking. Like, we're tracking to the moon. Now, whether or not we'll get there, we'll see.
Do you think should be better? Should be better than your Super Bowl team? Doesn't mean they will be.
Yes.
But should they be?
Yes. On defense, no doubt. And by the way, that defensive group was really good at the end. Really good. But this team has – Clay was a great playmaker. Cullen Jenkins, a great playmaker. Micah Parsons is different. Now, there is – I don't think there's – well, is Xavier – well, Jason, a good thing Jason compared Xavier McKinney to Charles, because Charles Woodson is better than Xavier McKinney, no doubt. This defense can be more dominant than our defense. I believe that offense is going to be better. I think Jordan and the offense have to improve. I do. I think I do. And maybe I'll
better
be wrong
than
on that, but I do.
The 2025 offense will be better than the 2010.
No,
offense.
I'm saying Aaron Rodgers' offense. The 2010 offense is better.
That's why I
think Jordan Love has a way.
That.
Yeah, I'm saying the defense has a chance to be markedly better than a team that won a Super Bowl. I don't believe that offense will be able to match what we saw in Atlanta. Can you imagine Jordan and that offense doing what Aaron Rodgers and that offense
did? No, I cannot.
That I don't think
Not
is going to happen.
Point. Okay. Evan, I know this was, obviously this is the talk of the NFL. Joe Burrow's injury is going to, he's going to have surgery. They consulted Dr. Anderson on it. He's going to be out 3 months at minimum, it appears.
Is that the same doc you saw for your turf toe, or is that
Dr. Anderson went back to Charlotte. He's not in Green Bay anymore, so I had to settle for
Dr.
McKenzie.
But did Doc McKenzie send your pictures that he took in your car to Dr. Anderson?
We did not have to do that, though. And I'm dealing with a little bit of a recurrence.
By the way,
so
do you think a cell phone will be able to take an x-ray at some point?
Probably.
Wow.
Yes.
What a question.
Great question.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
But if I may continue.
Yes,
so
may.
Joe Burrow's injury is the big news in the NFL. They did add a Packers backup quarterback, but it was Sean Clifford. There's a chance that Jaden Daniels won't be ready to go this week, and Marcus Mariota is going to start for Washington. We just got done talking about J.J. McCarthy. My question is, Evan, there were fans, and Tausch, I think, is part of this, if the price is right, saying that you trade Malik Willis if somebody is desperate enough to give up. What did you say, a second-round pick is what you would demand, Tausch?
If I was even going to entertain trading him, it has to be a second or better. Yes.
So tell me I'm thinking about this the wrong way, Evan. My thought was the exact opposite. I'm not trading my backup quarterback because I'm seeing all these teams in panic mode. And Carson Wentz? Really? Carson Wentz wasn't even on their team all camp. The Vikings signed him after camp ended. I want to be able to have a guy that I know can win games for me. I'm not giving him up. Period. Finn, am I wrong to view it that way about a backup quarterback?
Before I answer the question, I need to ask a question. Can you please do me a favor and reveal his contractual status right now? Because I have a pitch for you guys. How many more years does Malik Willis have left?
He is in a contract year. He will be a free agent after the season.
Okay, and what is he making right now?
I can check that for you.
Let's call it $2.5 million, just for brevity.
Okay. So what Malik Willis has is money to call himself rich, not set for life, and not generational wealth. Okay? What Malik Willis probably would want would be two things. Set for life and starting job, right?
Uh-huh.
I don't have a scenario in which I see a starting job for him. There could be scenarios where he competes for one. Let's just play out worst-case scenario for the Bears. Caleb is not good. Do they bring in somebody who has starting background that could compete and really give Caleb the job? Sure, sure. What I would actually do is flip the whole thing upside down, and I would offer him a contract extension at a relatively high rate for a backup to give him set for life money, not generational wealth. And go
like
the opposite way. Yeah, right.
Like
so
Badgett.
Tyson Bates and Badgett with the Bears, what was the contract, Jason? Do you remember the number?
Like
3 for 24 or something like that? Let's just say
it was like 8 or 9 a year. Yep.
Right. Yep. So that's set for life money, if you do it right, probably. Not generational wealth. And you're not going to be a starter. But I think because of the rash of injuries we're seeing over the last few years, we actually brought up this morning, and I said to Canty, I said, would you allocate more money moving forward for your backup quarterback? And he said, no, but if in this case, when you got a guy like Willis, I may consider doing that. So I wouldn't trade him, and I wouldn't just keep him. I'd actually try to extend him is what I would do.
Okay, he is making $1.4 million this year.
1.4. Here's the thing.
And Tausch, if he's offered 3 for 24 right now, how does he say no to that?
I think he would take that. But the question I have is you did. I know we're all in Micah mania, and we should be for good reason.
Right.
But you lost 2 first-round picks. You know how much Green Bay loves draft picks. You could, if someone offers a second, they're probably not in a great spot quarterback-wise, right? And then you could get him back. Now, you are rolling the dice. How good do you feel about who you have behind you? Because, as I said, this will be a defensive-led team. I don't think, regardless, if Jordan misses the whole season, I think you're obviously your Super Bowl hopes go way down. But if
right.
you can weather the storm with someone else for a couple of weeks, you can win games. You don't think you can win a game? I could say this right now. If Jordan Love had an ankle like McCarthy and they say, well, Green Bay is still going to be favored in Cleveland. Green Bay will probably be favored against the Dallas Cowboys, even if Jordan Love is not the quarterback. Now, against Philly and against Detroit, no. But against some of these other teams, you could weather the storm.
Mm-hmm.
I would not trade Malik Willis. I would do what Jason is saying. But if somebody offers me a second, knowing I don't have any firsts, knowing I could probably get him back if nobody pays him after this year, you have to have some viable option to win a game or two, not to mess it up because your defense is this good. That would be my rationale for doing it.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense, and I think what we come back to is they are so good that any of these scenarios makes sense. Like, there's now no scenario that doesn't make sense anymore because of the fact that when you have a quarterback on offense and you have a quarterback in defense, it allows you to do so many other things. Right? We talk about all the time how I like the Packers' approach to wide receivers because if you have a franchise quarterback, don't pay for Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, right? Try to get a bunch of guys. Well, now, when you have a quarterback on defense like Micah, then you could roll through a bunch of guys, too, and you may not have to overpay, right? So, like, there's any scenario we could play out. Yes, replenishing picks, sure, right? Could you see Tausch in that scenario? So, I don't know if somebody's going to give you a second for Malik Willis, but somebody, let's just play it out. Somebody gives you a second for Malik Willis, and then next year, 2 seconds are both starters with this team? Yeah, because you don't need A-level starters. You could have B-level starters if those two guys, Love and Parsons, bring up to A-level because of how good they are.
Right.
So we just keep coming back to they're so good and they need to be in the Super Bowl.
There you go.
All right.
You know what else I noticed about them? Just watching one quick thing. What I noticed about them watching them in person, and maybe Tosh, you're going to tell me this doesn't make sense, I always think a defense, you notice that they're fast when they're rushing the passer. The Packers are fast somehow on the run.
They're fast everywhere.
I don't even understand. No. They're just so fast. Like, literally a run play. And I'm like, they get to the ball vertically. They get to the ball horizontally. They're just fast every which way.
Yeah. Edgerrin Cooper, I think, we all thought he'd be a difference maker. There's some new stat that I'd never heard of, where you cause a lost yardage play by how you – Edgerrin Cooper is probably being overshadowed a bit because of Micah Parsons.
For sure.
Edgerrin Cooper's a dog, like a dog.
Wait, finish
and
the stat.
I don't know why Dallas – if I was Dallas, I would have said, I'll trade you Micah, but I need Cooper back. And I don't know – this sounds crazy. I don't think Green Bay does that deal.
Boy, that's a really
as crazy as that
question.
Sounds.
Yeah. It's a really interesting question.
Can you finish that stat, Tausch? You never actually finish it. You get credit for what?
It's somebody tweeted it, and I thought it was interesting. It basically is you are causing lost yardage plays. It's not only TFLs. There's some other metric that goes with it. And Edgerrin Cooper,
stuffing a blocker or something like that. Like,
something where you're initiating and causing a lost yardage or no gain play. And I think one of the biggest criticisms in the years I've been doing this show of our middle linebackers, they're tackle collectors. They're not playmakers. Well, those days are long gone.
No, that's those days important. Are long gone. I tell my son, who's 12, but he's very tall, I was like, stop. Don't worry about block shots. Get as many altered shots as possible because playing basketball. Because the block shot actually could result in the ball going in the wrong direction, in the wrong, like, but if you alter the shot, it's a lot of bad shots, right? Because think about it. A block shot could go right back to the guy shooting it. An altered shot is a lot different. And that's kind of like what you're saying. If you're doing something to force a TFL, you may not get the tackle nor the sack, but you're forcing something positive for your team and negative for their team by actually doing it right.
The stat is called, from Next Gen Stats, hustle stops per Jacob Morley. And Edgerrin Cooper leads the league with 8 hustle stops through 2 games, where a defensive player gets a stop when he covers 20-plus yards of in-play distance from snap to tackle.
There you go.
Okay, that's not exactly what I thought it was, but that's remarkable.
No, it's not what I thought it was either. All right, Evan, we will make some calls to our favorite WEAC football coaches. See if we can get you a Whitewater spot. I don't know if the SUNY schools are looking for anybody, but we'll get to work on rekindling your quarterback dream.
Love it. Thanks, guys.
All right, guys. We appreciate it. Thank you. That is Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Tears in my eyes, the love in my soul. I feel like starting something. The pain and
time with him. You can hear him every weekday across ESPN Wisconsin and across ESPN Radio and even on TV on Unsportsmanlike. In the 10 o'clock hour, I left off Mac Jones. He also started for an injured Brock Purdy. So lots of backups playing. I'm not going to take my chances with Clayton Tune or bringing back the Canadian import Taylor Elgersma. I want my Malik Willis ready, even if I don't ever play him all season. I want to get into the Browns, though.
So
because
there's There's no price point that you would trade.
Well, no like price point that I'm pick. Going to get. Like, I could say, yeah, I'll trade him for a first-round pick, but no one is trading a first-round pick for him.
I don't think
anybody's trading him for a second-round pick either.
I agree.
So what? No, there is no price that I am willing to accept for him that is in the realm of reality.
So I think the realm of reality would be a conditional fourth. That is the highest I believe he would get. And at that price point, I agree with you. I'm not trading him. But I think if you start getting into third and second, I do think you have to think long and hard about
it. I don't disagree. I just don't believe that anyone's doing that.
Well, it sounds since he offered a sixth is what I saw a report yesterday, that Cincinnati called and offered a sixth. They got him for a seventh. Sixth, I'm not even, I'm saying, oh, that's cute. And a bing.
Thank you for your call.
I'm thinking, I can't do it. If I'm Goody, I hem, but I don't haw.
I agree.
At a third, I'm hemming and hawing.
Well said. And then and then when they get up to a second, you're like, okay. Kind of like the trade of Kenny Clark, who we love. All right, well, we don't really want... God, I really don't want to give up Kenny as part of this Micah Parsons trade, but...
But on the side, okay. He's like, Russ, call Kenny. He gone. Like, that's what...
Right.
I am curious, do you agree with my assessment that if Jerry Jones, when this deal, the two first-round picks were always going to be in play to get Micah? That was always. Why this Dallas is... didn't ask for a third? Because I'm fairly certain, at this point, you're negotiating a deal. I would guess the Packers would have given up a third. And by the way... If this goes as we think it will, it's worth it. But if they said Edger and Cooper in the two first, do you think Goody puts a foot down and says, absolutely not?
No. I when you said this, I was like, ooh, now that's a good hypothetical. Really good. And my answer is no, the trade doesn't happen. He says, look, you can have Rashawn Gary. You can have Lucas Van Ness.
I think
you can
every
have Kenny
player,
Clark, but I'm not giving you the guy
player.
That I think could be our Micah Parsons in-house. No, conversation over, period, paragraph, fin. I'm not trading him.
So him and Xavier, you think him and McKinney are the only two untouchables as part of that trade?
Correct. Yes. Yep. Mm. Yep.
Fascinating.
It is fascinating.
I don't know, man, because you see what he's brought, but I don't know. This defense with Edger and Cooper is a difference maker, not to the degree of Micah, but I don't know. I think when all's said and done, you're going to look and say, man, that is a dog. That's a dog.
Yeah. Your defense is better because you have both of them, and you'd only have one of them if you'd included Edger and Cooper in that trade. And I don't believe Goody would have done it.
I can't believe Dallas did. I'm literally, as this thing is unfolding and you're watching, they can't touch Russ Wilson with the Giants' offensive line.
They got Jadeveon Clowney now. They're all set.
I guess. Why people make some of the decisions they make are always fascinating to me.
You can be all set with your knowledge of the Milwaukee Bucks with the Behind the Bucks podcast on the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Behind the Bucks brings you exclusive access and untold stories about the greatest stars and moments in Bucks history. Go behind the scenes of Giannis's Emmy-nominated documentary. Hear about the true origins of the Bucks in Six culture and more. Find Behind the Bucks on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, the new ESPN Wisconsin app, and wherever you get your podcast. Behind the Bucks, presented by Gallagher. The 10 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.